She's there.
Blog Talk Radio. Right, cool.
Welcome to another episode of Scatter Chatter. My co-host can't be here tonight, Mr. Will. He's doing overtime. As you guys know, he's one of the frontliners. He's working at a hospital. And so I'm going to run the show tonight. Our guest, we have Dr. Timmer, and I believe her husband is joining her. Hello, Dr. Timmer. How are you?
Yes, hi.
Are you there?
How are you?
Good to be. Oh, we got you. There you are. I was like, uh-oh, technical difficulties there. You there? Uh-oh.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. All right. Yeah. So
Yeah.
Your husband joining us tonight?
I'm here. Oh,
okay. I'm sorry. I don't know
the.
Do I call him doctor or do I just call him Mr.? What do I do?
Mr. would be great. Mr. Ben Timmer.
Oh, okay. Doctor or Mister? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I didn't get that.
Mister
Timmer?
No, I'm not. I'm not a doctor. Oh. I just play one on TV. Ben Timmer here.
All right.
I'm glad to be on.
Oh, hello, Ben. How are you doing? So
wonderful.
Again,
wonderful. Thank you.
So, Dr. Timmer and Mister Timmer, can you guys tell us who you are and what you do before we go into the questions, and then we'll talk about our subject tonight, which is cannabis. So go and do your thing.
Sure. We run Total Holistic Center. It's a wellness clinic in South Florida, but also all over the United States, because we see patients online, virtually, as well as locally in person. I'm a physician, and I have a more holistic philosophy on health. We spoke a little bit more about that in the previous couple of weeks when
I
was a guest on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing the show.
Yeah.
Over and over, like, we appreciate your joining us. I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you.
And your husband, he is you said he's a specialist, or what was it?
So my husband is, we're talking about cannabis, and he's running a nonprofit, cannabis, International Jewish Cannabis Association. He's been an activist in the topic and the industry of cannabis for a long time.
Okay.
And he knows so much about the subject, even more than me. That's why I wanted him to be a part of this.
And I think even in a previous episode, you mentioned that you were the second person to get the medical approval for cannabis. I want to make sure I'm right on that fact, right?
I don't know if I was exactly second, but I was. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Just make sure you're close to the mic, yeah.
I was one of the first in South Florida. So
okay.
I don't know exactly what number I was.
But you're in there. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a series of questions that I wanted to go through, and I believe you or Mr. Timmer can answer them for us. So are we ready to go?
Sure. We're going to
do
our best to answer all the questions for you.
Okay. If we don't hit them all, we might have to do another episode, but we'll do our best to get it within the 35-minute time span or whatever. Okay, so first one. So there's three strands that I've heard of. I watched, like, a lot of Netflix specials, like Explained, and I've done my own research. I've known people. There's Sativa, Indica, and Ruderalis, I believe. Can you explain the three, and what are they, and how they're used specifically, if they're mixed or whatnot? I don't know how it works, so let's go from there.
So cannabis has been, as you said, separated into three different categories.
Okay.
As you said, it's sativa, indica, and ruderalis. Those things are actually, by some accounts, slowly changing, just like everything else. But because of how it was named, it was essentially possibly even misnamed. Today, the three different classifications are identified by their appearance as well as by their effects. So,
okay.
Traditionally, cannabis sativa has thin leaves, very long branches. Cannabis indica is a shorter plant and was introduced and gives a little bit more of sedative qualities. Has a different all the plants have different cannabinoid profiles, but traditionally it's been said that the indica plants have profiles that are more sedative. So,
okay.
And the ruderalis is more of a hemp type of plant where, once again, its cannabinoid composition varies greatly from the other two because it's very traditionally very low THC. Now,
okay.
Those are actually right now under review because they're finding different plants throughout the world, and there might be some changes coming up. So a lot of what we're seeing is hybridization
right.
in today's cannabis market.
Okay, so I'm going to, like, kind of a segue question. So you're talking about the hybridization of things. Now, I've heard there's a difference. There's hybrid and synthetics. Like, have you heard of this? Are you familiar with these, the mixture of things?
There's a very big difference between plant-derived cannabinoids like THC, CBD, and cannabinoids that are synthetic fully, which are, if you remember, there was a spice and all these other bath salts, I don't know, all this other stuff that was sold as incense or K2. There was all of these synthetic cannabinoids that weren't classified but acted or affected the endocannabinoid system. Were on the market and you know, gas stations, and they were leading people to some very negative results. So I just want your listeners and our followers to be very clear that synthetic is definitely worse than natural, you know, organically derived cannabinoids.
So the non-medical, so that's the only thing. So, okay, the bath salts, that's a thing that's non-medical. Is there any other, like, other term for the synthetic that we would know, like, as a normal person or a layman's terms, like, I don't know, could it be called shower gel or something? I don't know. But you get at the liquor store under a different name, or like one of these little, like, side smoke shops, you get it and it's called something else. Is there some new thing?
So you really don't want to be going to any kind of smoke shops or gas stations to purchase anything that you're going to be inhaling at the end of the day.
Right.
you know, and we see that with cigarettes, we see that with Juul, we see that with any kind of other stuff, you know, things that they're trying to sell you that is really not regulated. So you want to be going to licensed manufacturers. You want to be going to companies that have good certificates of analysis of their products, and you want to make sure that if you call a phone number on the company, you know, on the product, that you're getting somebody that can answer your questions, and you're not going to, you know, be in a situation where, you know, something is, you know, a one-off product or an off-label product that doesn't really do what, that does more harm than good, let's put it that way. But you want to make sure that you're educated.
So, Ben, let me ask you this. In that whole questioning, right, because, I mean, I don't know about Florida. I haven't been there lately. L.A., Vegas, there's a smoke shop. There's a weed shop or a cannabis shop, like, on every corner. Like, how do I know which ones are licensed or which ones are, like, the safe ones to go to? Is there, like, a symbol? Like, you know how in some restaurants you get the grade A for the restaurant or grade B? You don't want to go to the B. You want to go to the A. How do I know that's good for me? Like, if I want to send my grandmama to the stove to get her a little hookup, like, what should she be looking for on her own so she can do it on her own? Like, what are the things she should look for?
So, I mean, a lot of what is happening, especially in L.A., at this point is, you know, regulations are coming in, and that's what we've really tried to do, and what we're doing with the International Jewish Cannabis Association. We have created a nonprofit, and it's www.theijca.org.
You might want to say it again so the listeners
get it. Yeah, it's the International Jewish Cannabis Association, www.theijca.org. Mm-hmm. And essentially it's a platform for networking of entrepreneurs, of clergy, of researchers, scientists, physicians. We have a board of physicians. We have a board of clergy, a rabbinical board. And what we've done is we've elevated the conversation about cannabis. So you can easily and freely with 100% knowledge that your grandma would get the best referral possible. You can mm-hmm. refer her to the International Jewish Cannabis Association, and we would not only get her, you know, connected to a qualified physician, but also guide her in, you know, reaching out to a local dispensary or having a delivery made, especially in, you know, these times where you don't really want her to be walking around and going to stores.
Right.
So what we have is, that's number one. Number two, we always want to make sure that the companies are licensed, the physicians are licensed, that your grandma is not only getting, you know, something that, you know, we think that she should get, but something that that a physician with some extensive background in cannabinoid therapy would be able to guide her on, at least generally, and not necessarily a you know, recreational shot.
Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. Now, besides your organization, do you know anybody else that might be doing something similar to what you're doing to make sure that everything is in compliance and you know, down to the letter. Like, do you know anybody else that might be doing something that might be on this coast or on the West Coast?
Well, that's the beautiful part about it. We have just opened up a in LA. We've just opened up before in February a chapter. So we're actually local and we're on the ground. Anybody else? I don't know of any nonprofits that are, you know, kind of creating this type of network, but I do know that you want, you know, the point for all of these new regulations and licensing and rules, and in my opinion, is to essentially create a framework where the dispensaries are going to abide by, you know, similar rules. So you want to be going to some, you know, an establishment that's licensed with the state, that's licensed with the city, and not something that you could look up right away.
Right.
I believe even by calling 311. Also, from what I understand, Weed Maps is no longer working with unlicensed retailers. So
okay. The
chances that, you know, you have better products and, you know, not the fake cartridge, you know, there's fake stuff everywhere. I'm sure you guys know, you know, what's going on out there. So you want to make sure that the dispensary is licensed. You want to make sure that your source is licensed, that especially with somebody that's of 50, 55 plus, you want to make sure that all of their issues are addressed, and not only, you know, a general sativa indica is recommended, but also something that's more in line with their, you know, possible diabetes or other issues or you know, other comorbid issues.
Okay. That's really good info to have. Oh, thank you for that. So along that line, so we were talking about the different strands, the sativa, the indica, the ruderalis. Hemp, what is the difference between, I keep seeing this, hemp and CBD. What is the difference? What's the clear difference in layman's terms between the two?
So hemp is really the plant. Hemp is the actual green plant that grows. CBD is a compound and is a cannabinoid. It's one of the cannabinoids that's found in the cannabis plant, but it's also found in many other plants. It's just much more concentrated in different types of cannabis strains. It also was found that hemp is basically there's a large concentration of this molecule, CBD, cannabidiol it's called, and it was actually isolated in Israel, just like THC. A lot of people don't know that all the research, everything that we have, a lot of the advocacy, guys like Jack Hare, were Jewish, and a lot of the research, a lot of what we know today, and how cannabinoids work, how basically the discovery of the endocannabinoid system actually was in Israel, in Jerusalem, Hebrew University in the 60s. And they've been studying, they've been leading the way ever since. The answer basically back to the question is that the CBD that was discovered in Israel is a molecule. So that's the difference. The difference is just like THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, which everybody knows, it's another molecule, right? And it's in,
right.
It's also found in a plant called cannabis indica. You can name it, Granddaddy Purple. You could extract the THC out of it. So you extract CBD out of hemp. You extract CBD out of cannabis plants as well. Hemp is another type of cannabis.
Okay. So the CBD or the hemp, which one has more of the, I guess, what do you call it, the more of the high or the, I think it's called a, I don't know what the factor is. One is more of the high and one is more of the just healing properties. Which one is more for that?
So there are two of the more widely known components, these molecules. They are known as THC and CBD. So
Okay. Those
two, one THC is called tetrahydrocannabinol. It's an acronym is THC.
Right.
And it is the euphoric one. That's the one that induces euphoria. It gives people quote unquote high feeling. It gives them it's not really considered a high. It's considered a euphoric feeling. The other one, CBD is also found in all of these different strains of the plant that we spoke about. In hemp, and how hemp is classified by the U.S. Farm Bill is that everything that has 0.03% or less of THC, the psychoactive component, is considered a hemp plant and is considered a farm product that can be stored and sold and whatever. Basically, they've opened it up last year. Everything that has more than 0.03% THC is considered illegal and is regulated through, dispensaries and licensing processes in different states. So the THC is the one that gives you the euphoria. The CBD is the one that is quote-unquote more medicinal. They were both discovered in Israel by the grandfather of cannabis, Raphael Meshulam. And today, CBD is sold in stores everywhere. Actually, Dr. Anya has a line of CBD that she has formulated over a course of 3 years, and that's sold through her line called Total Holistic Supplements, and you can find that on totalholisticsupplements.com.
Oh, okay. I always ask this question when people are selling their products. It's not available on Amazon. It's only available through that site, right? Hello?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's only available through totalholisticsupplements.com.
Okay.
I also wanted to ask you a question as far as the medicinal properties of these compounds. There is a research that shows there's an entourage effect, what they call. So there's a combination there's some people are basically sensitive enough where just the CBD product will give them, some relief in their symptoms. But it shows in the research that products with all different cannabinoids in them together, not being separated, have much more potent medicinal properties than when they're separated into singular components, which they call isolates. So together, CBD and THC with some other cannabinoids works much better for most people. That's why in medicinal marijuana programs such as Florida and other states, it's very important for some patients to have the ability to get to both of these compounds in order for them to feel relief in their symptoms of chronic issues.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that one. That's interesting. So with that being said, let's see. I think I had a question that was related to that. So when people are taking this, right, as far as patients and when it's for medicinal purposes, like what kind of people or what kind of patients do you have that come in and just like, please give me the stuff. I need it, doc. Like what kind of like chronic illnesses do you see people using it for or not?
Well, specifically in the case of my practice, probably 98% of my patients are over 50 years old, and they have quite severe chronic issues. And most of them do come in actually saying something along the lines of, I'm not here to get high. All I want is basically to, get rid of my symptoms and the issues that are causing me pain and suffering. There's each state, each medical marijuana state program has their own qualifying conditions. There's some similarities and some differences, but most of them have to do with issues that are chronic. So something that has been there for a year or longer, something that the person has been suffering from. They basically tried regular medical routes first. And physicians are actually regulated to get medical records to prove that the person already tried the medical route, they tried the medications, they tried maybe even surgery or injections, but that hasn't worked for them. So then they're able to be put into medical marijuana registry of that particular state. You know, some of the couple conditions that are, for example, qualifying in Florida, Crohn's disease, Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, cancer, and similar issues like that.
So I can't run into your clinic and just say I got the glaucoma in my eye. Can you please give me something? That's not going to fly with you. No.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question in here?
I'm just saying I can't run into your facility and just say I have glaucoma in my eye, and that's okay.
Yes, actually, glaucoma is one of the qualifying conditions.
It is? Oh, my God.
Glaucoma is one of the, is one of the qualifying conditions because it decreases the eye pressure.
What's the joke amongst friends that people say that? They just go in.
Well, can joke all you want, but if you do have the qualifying chronic condition, then you are qualified.
That's one of them. Okay. So maybe, I guess you got to come up with records and just be like, okay, I saw a doctor. I got this pain. I hate to say this. I got glaucoma. I got pain. I've seen a doctor. Here's my records. Can we try something else? Let's do some alternative medicine. Then you can be like, okay, now let's have a conversation. Perhaps.
Absolutely. That's exactly what the medical program in all these different states is there for, that it gives patients an alternative route, a complementary route where they could, they already have all these treatment plans that they tried and it didn't work. So, okay, here we go. We have this more natural route now, which in my holistic mindset is amazing, that we could try this medicinal herb that has been available for thousands of years to the healers, all kinds of healers, which is, in my personal opinion, through a lot of research that I've been doing, is much safer than a lot of the synthetic medications. I love having it in my holistic toolbox for my patients.
So that kind of leads me to my next question. Would you prefer people go the Western, I hope I'm saying this right, the industrialized, like, medicinal route and then going holistic, or would you prefer them go holistic first if they've done their homework? Like, which would you, or can you even recommend that legally as a doctor? I'm not trying to get you in trouble or anything, but which would you prefer? Yeah, I'm just trying to do it right. I don't got, you know, the whole,
yeah absolutely. Well, in Total Holistic Center, and we have we see patients nationally as well. We deal with more chronic issues, and we mostly
okay.
deal with people who has already, they've been suffering for years. So most of them
okay.
have already tried the Western medicine route because that's the first thing that people are usually aware of. So once they go and they try different treatments and then they see it's still not working, they're still suffering, that's when they seek more alternative complementary treatments, and that's what we help them with.
Okay. All right. So then my other question is this. So we're talking about the cannabinoids, the THC. So when there's a lot of stuff on the market, and they have, like, these different dosages. Like, where's the entry point? Like, if you're, especially if you're going into, I don't know if you guys do the fun stuff or something similar. Like, where's the entry point to know, based upon somebody's chronic illness, like, as far as dosaging, when something says, okay, it has 50 milligrams, or I'm pretty sure that might be too much. I don't know. What is the entry point as far as that? Because people are just saying, like, oh, I take, like, 100 milligrams of cannabidiol and THC, and I'm good to go because I got pain. Like, what are we looking at as far as that goes?
So just like Total Holistic Center, and just like all the approaches that Dr. Anya has incorporated in all the protocols, it's very individualized. So what
okay.
happens is that nationally in any state, you know, in California and even in Canada or Mexico, somebody can call our office, 561-323-4994. And even though we may not be able to get them the recommendation, but what Dr. Anya's team has done is they have been able to guide people along the lines of what is it that they need, what issues they're dealing with, what's going on in their life, and thereby creating a 360-degree health plan. So these
okay.
types of questions are very, very individualized. And as such,
uh-huh.
we want to make sure that when somebody has that question, they're free to call us, text us, email, you know, Total Holistic Center, and get those questions answered specifically to their needs. Because if a person has never taken any kind of cannabinoids, that answer is going to be different than somebody that's you know, a 20-year veteran, you know, and knows what they're doing. So we want to make sure that there's no blanket statements. And by the way, that's actually a very good litmus test. That's a very good way to find out if your doctor or if your medical care professional is giving you just a blanket statement or a blanket protocol. You always want to make sure that whatever you're getting, whatever kind of pills you're getting, is not meant for 2, 3, 5, 10 million other Americans, that it's specifically designed to a snapshot of what's going on in your system today, and the recommendation is such that it should be specific to those, to the root cause of those issues. And many times that root cause is inflammation and a very you know, unhealthy lifestyle.
Okay. That's a good pointer to know. Okay, so I think we're running short on time. I want to ask you one major key question that I'm pretty sure some people might be wondering. Has anyone ever died or overdosed from using cannabis, THC, or hemp that you know of in the press or anything?
I'll answer that question. I love this question. So about 3.5 years ago when I was studying for a certificate to become a medical marijuana certified physician, I was taking a course that was provided by Florida Department of Health. This is something they addressed in there, which I found very amusing and interesting. There was one recorded death that was considered the cause of death, cannabis overdose, and this is what happened. A patient went to a physician. They got their recommendation for a particular product. They took some of it. And it was an oral route. So when somebody is taking cannabis orally, it takes, you know, just like any other medication, it takes time for it to be digested through your body. You don't experience the effects right away. So the person took a dose. They didn't feel it working right away. They took more. They didn't feel it working right away. They kept taking more and more and more and more until the point of complete and utter inebriation, and they basically jumped from the balcony to their death. That was the only recorded death that had, that cause of death. That was very interesting to me, because, you know, when somebody is, number one, not following the recommendations and also not using the product correctly and the medication correctly, is it caused by the medication or is it caused by just a little bit of ignorance? To me, it might be the latter. But other than that, I personally am not, in my experience with patients, we didn't have any deaths, and I'm not aware of any other deaths that are caused by cannabis overdose, and that's why I very much like to use this treatment option in my practice, because it's very helpful for chronic illness, but it's, in my opinion, much safer. There's actually research that shows that it's even safer than nicotine and caffeine, so that
wow.
makes me feel good to use it in my practice.
Caffeine is like, everybody can get a hold of that.
Mm-hmm.
Even kids. Seeing kids in Starbucks.
Right.
This is great. Okay. Wow. Did we lose signal? Uh-oh. A little technical difficulty here.
The caffeine is also in Coca-Cola, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
In Mountain Dew, so.
It's everywhere.
You have
gamers
those combinations. You have those combinations with sugar and all the different other, high fructose corn syrup and everything else that's added there. And you have, long-term effects to the system that are hard to change.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Dr. Timmer and Mr. Timmer, thank you for joining us. Do you guys have any last words before we part ways? And maybe drop your website and phone number again to the center before we go.
Sure. So the website is www.totalholisticcenter.com, and the phone number is 561-323-4994.
And
the International Jewish Cannabis Association is available at www.theijca.org, or you can Google us, the International Jewish Cannabis Association.
And you know what, Mr. Timmer, we might have to get some graphics from you to put on the actual page of this episode, and maybe for the next one if we do a follow-up, if that's okay with you.
With pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. Everybody, my last words are just be good to each other and stay at home still. Stay at home. And, yeah, just be safe out there. So good night. Be good to each other. And that's all. That's all I got. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for having us.